Welcome to the program. This is Robert Jaramillo with Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. I have been covering for Pastor Brian Parrish this week, and we have been looking at the flaws of the faith movement. And today what we'll be looking at is the flaw of the faith movement's teaching on man. So far we have looked at the faith movement's teaching on faith, on health, on wealth, and on God, and now we're going to see how the faith movement views man. It's interesting that not only have certain faith teachers degraded God's status to a man, as we looked at yesterday, but they have lifted up man's status to be a god. It's ironic. If we were to ask just about any Christian what they thought of the Mormon Church, they would say without hesitation that they are a cult, because one of the doctrines they espouse is the deification of man. And what we mean by that is the Mormon Church believes that man can eventually evolve to godhood and be a god himself. Now, though their view or how this deification takes place is different from the faith movement, the end result is the same, and that is that they believe man can be God. So without a doubt, many of us would say the Mormon Church is a cult. Yet, many Christians do not regard Kenneth Copeland or others as teaching heresy when they teach the same thing, and that is that man is a god or can become a god. Let's look at what Kenneth Copeland states in Following the Faith of Abraham, First Volume, Side 1, and I quote, "God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. Adam is as much like God as you can get, just the same as Jesus. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh." Now that's a very strong statement. This is not a peripheral subject about money or sickness or healing. This is now talking about the very nature of God and the very nature of man. And in this quote, Kenneth Copeland is calling Adam God. He is saying Adam was God manifested in the flesh. Now, we make that statement about the Lord Jesus Christ, and rightly so, because Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. But here, Kenneth Copeland is saying Adam was as well. Now, my question is, who exactly was Adam? Adam was nothing more than the first human being God created. And my question as well is, does anywhere in the Bible support the claim that Adam was God manifested in the flesh? And the immediate response would be absolutely not. I mean, if that were the case, then we would have to conclude that apparently there is a fourth person in the triunity of God or the Trinity. And we realize that's not the case. Nowhere in the Bible shows that Adam was God. And any revelation that Kenneth Copeland, quote-unquote, has here is definitely not from God. God would not ever lead us to contradict what we believe about him or ourselves as he's revealed to us in the Bible. So we have right here a statement that cannot be taken lightly. Kenneth Copeland is making the statement that Adam was nobody less than God himself manifested in the flesh. Now, Kenneth Hagin as well has followed a similar line of teaching, and we'll quote him now. As he states, and I quote, "Man was created on terms of equality with God, and he could stand in God's presence without any consciousness of inferiority." In other words, man could stand before God and in no way, shape, or form have to feel inferior to God. Now, does that sound like what the Bible describes our place as before God? No, we worship God because he is Almighty God, and we are his creation that is completely subject to him. I'll continue the quote. "He made us as the same class of being that he is himself. He, that is man, lived on terms equal with God." Now that sounds terrible. We are equal with God. Only one person can make that claim, and that's God's son, Jesus Christ, because he was truly equal with God. But there's not a place in the Bible that shows us that mankind is equal with God. The last part that Kenneth Hagin says in this statement is just as appalling. He states, "The believer is called Christ." Quote unquote, that's who we are. We're Christ. So now Kenneth Hagin has made the statement that me and you as Christians are Christ himself. We are on equal terms with God. We have no consciousness of inferiority before God, and we do not realize that God is superior to us. Another person I want to quote is Morris Cirullo, and let's go ahead and take a look what Morris Cirullo had to say, and this was a quote from The End Time Manifestation of the Sons of God, audio tape number 1, sides 1 and 2 we get this quote from. But here's what he states, quote, "Did you know from the beginning of time the whole purpose of God was to reproduce himself? Who are you? Come on, who are you? Come on, say it. Sons of God. Come on, say it. And what does work inside of us, brother, is that manifestation of the expression of all that God is and all that God has. And when we stand up here, brother, you're not looking at Morris Cerullo. You're looking at God. You're looking at Jesus. Now, excuse me, what is Morris Cerullo saying? He is saying we are looking at God and we are looking at him. Is he calling himself God? Apparently so. This has to be the greatest blasphemy imaginable that us as human beings can commit, is to call and declare ourselves as God. Who wants all the glory? God himself does. Why? Because he is God and he deserves that. For us to say that we are God, we are competing for that very glory of God, and that is just not right. That is as heretical as we can get. May God have mercy on them, and I pray that God would lead these men to repentance. I remember to one faith teacher, as I listened to him on the TV, just laughing as he read Jesus' words where Jesus said, I am. And he said, and I quote, when I read here where Jesus said, I am, I just laugh because I am too. This man was stating that basically he was Jehovah God. Now you say, well, that's not what the faith teachers believe that to mean. Surely they realize that means something else. Well, I remember a very specific time where I personally engaged in a personal conversation with a so-called prophet from the faith movement. And he stood right in front of me and told me that he was Jehovah. And that I was too, which came as quite a shock. I didn't realize that. But he said that I was God manifested in the flesh also. And his reasoning was as follows. He asked me, does God live in you? And I said, of course he does. And he said, and is he manifesting himself to the world through you? I said, of course I am. Well, then he came to the conclusion, therefore, you are God manifested in the flesh. So this guy's argument was, if God lives in you, and he is manifesting himself to the world through you, then you are God manifested in the flesh. There's a great flaw in that argument. Number one, there's a difference between God revealing himself to the world through our lives, through our bodies, and us being God manifested in the flesh. There's a world of difference. And it's very clear, the Bible makes it absolutely clear, that there was one God and no other. If you have your Bible, we'll look at a couple of verses right now. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which states, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now that should be simple enough. The Lord is one. There's no other. But let's go ahead and look as well at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 together. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, and I read, You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Look at this closely. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Now let's think about this. If God's saying there's never been a God before me, and there will never be one after me, what does that mean? There's no chance of any other being in existence to be called God. That includes Adam, that includes, quote unquote, us as Christians as little gods. We are not God, we are not Christ. That is the worst of heresies. Remember that if God is not a man, then man cannot be a God. Over 20 years ago, when we heard the horrifying words of Jim Jones, it shocked the whole church when he stated, and I'll quote, It is written that ye are gods. I'm a God and you're a God. And I'm a God and I'm going to stay a God until you recognize that you're a God. And when you recognize that you're a God, I shall go back into principle and I will not appear as a personality. But until I see all of you knowing who you are, I'm going to be very much what I am, God, Almighty God. When this statement was made over 20 years ago, the church could not believe its ears. This was the worst of blasphemies. Now, much of the church is singing the same song, which is tragic, and defending the same thing in the name of Christianity. You know, the very thing that Lucifer desired and that the Antichrist will proclaim to mankind in the last days is what major proponents of the faith movement proclaim to be God. In my opinion, there is no greater heresy. Could you imagine that? That is what Lucifer desired to be. That is what the Antichrist will proclaim. And now that is what people in the name of Christianity are claiming. As I once heard an evangelist in Virginia Beach state, there is one God, and you're not him. And I would have to conclude the same.